All righty. Jack Stein is in for a vacation in Tom, taking full advantage of this President's Day.
Here comes the wooden wagon. Wooden wagon coming in. Oh, look at that. It's all festooned with flags and it's got bunting on it. That's really pretty.
And wow.
Just one horse. Isn't that pretty, Jack? It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
The way the light's kind of catching it.
It is.
I think very patriotic as well. And just making its way in. You hear the wooden wagon. Sean, can you put some patriotic music underneath as well as the wooden wagon? There's the teeny tiny. She, too, dressed and ready to go. And on top of her pickle jar is a teeny tiny mattress, I guess, because so many people use a day like this to be able to go out and buy mattresses or appliances, because that's what President's Day is all about. Here she comes now, and there's the wooden wagon, and she'll choose the letter of the day. Chris Martin loves when she sits right behind him, taps on the glass, letting Chris know that's the letter. That will be letter of the day. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. She's a big fist. You can also...
Just patriotic little lady, music. Gigantic man fists.
Look who's holding on to her. That's appropriate.
I eat new foods all the time.
Please don't do that.
I will share it with you.
When icicles form, it's from water that melts off of your roof and runs down the side of a building. Well, here's the thing. You know what else is on your roof?
Nothing, I hope.
Bird poop. A lot of it.
Oh, really?
And that water picks it up and freezes it in the ice.
It doesn't smell. In fact, there's no smell at all.
You're eating poop.
I don't believe this.
Hello. Love the music. Diving in. Thanks, Sean. That's a cacophony of unnecessary sounds coming over your radio. Much appreciated. All righty. Let's see. Jack Stein, thanks again. I do appreciate you coming in. I know you could be doing so
anytime.
Many other things on this President's Day. This is a piece from the Washington Post. Says, let's reaffirm Lincoln and George Washington were heroes. So many of these guys are getting canceled. San Francisco School Board took Lincoln's name off of an elementary school, took Washington's name off. A lot of people getting rid of Washington and a whole bunch of other things. Some people are like, hey, are they looking to the state of Washington? I always say, why not? And if don't stop there, let's head right into Lincoln, Nebraska. There's no reason we should have Lincoln's name on that state. If we could find it on the map, we would. So this guy is basically saying, let's judge them by the times that they were living in and what they did, and let's not lose focus on how wonderful George Washington's vision and what he hoped this country would be and the rest of the founding fathers, and then what Abraham Lincoln was up against and what he ended up being. But with the school board, which, by the way, hasn't opened the school yet in San Francisco, but it was smart enough to take a whole bunch of names off of a whole bunch of buildings, and that's tear down statues of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Did you get a chance to read this piece, Jack?
I did, and it really reminded me about, I don't think a lot of people know their history. They don't know their United States history, and if they could go back and look at the philosophical debates that not only the founding fathers were having, but also that the people of the Civil War era, that just the extreme amount of pressure and stress that they were under to try to keep the country together at both times in history. For some reason, we take a look at maybe a piece of writing that at this point in time sounds very racist, or we take a look at George Washington and we say, well, look, he owned slaves. How dare he do such a thing? We forget about all of the philosophical underpinnings that are still true to this day, despite the fact that many of these guys were hypocrites or problematic in some way. For example, everyone knows famously that Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus during the Civil War. And yet we still just focus on what about Abraham Lincoln? Emancipation Proclamation. We don't necessarily care about the deep, dark underbelly of government at that point in time.
I think it is amazing that the perspective of life in that. Did you know surgeons have only been washing their hands in between operations for 150 years? That
yeah.
They didn't. They would go right from doing something on somebody and then turn around and go, oh, Dr. Gallinan, I need you over here. And they're like, oh, what's we got here? All right, let's dig right in. And some people living from 1740 up to whatever never bathe their entire life. I mean, if you just think of the sort of weird cultural things, or how about dentistry, where you would take two people and they would place their legs on your chest and then wiggle around some big, heavy piece of thing to tear your teeth out of your head, and you would be biting on a bullet or something. The part of it is so strange. It's like, here we are in 2021, looking back, casting our eyes back, and judging George Washington's actions, his thoughts, and his beliefs by today's standards. Or the same thing with Abraham Lincoln, or anybody. Is that not the most bizarre world? You're going to judge Abraham Lincoln or George Washington? Or I saw that people want to get rid of Greek mythology and then Western civilization. They want to get rid of Homer. They want to get rid of Socrates. They want to get, because it's like those people aren't woke by the standards of today. I mean, right. We are getting into crazy town. When we lose the host of The Bachelor, you know what? When they came for Chris Harrison and I said nothing.
Well, wokeness is a philosophical disease, because it's not actually based in anything other than mean things hurt people's feelings and we shouldn't say or do mean things. And I'll give you an example. John Adams, talk about Adams really quick. He was the second president of the United States, or the 17th, depending on what we're going off of. But he was, at a certain point in time before the Revolution, he was asked to be one of the king's men, that he was going to be in the king's court and he was going to help distribute the king's law. And he had a deep issue with that. It vexed him terribly, to use the language of the time, because yes. It is vexing me terribly. I can't deal with it. He was under the impression, because he was a lawyer, that the law was above one man. And now he was going to be offered all of this money, all of this prestige to go and reinterpret the law based under one man. And he said that he couldn't do it. So when we talk about people like Washington or anybody else at the time, those are the kinds of debates that they were having. But now we're debating over Chris Harrison and whether or not his apology was good enough on E. You think about how far we've come from just men of character, these deep philosophical ideas about what does it mean to have freedom and liberty. And now it's, well, she dressed up like a plantation owner and I don't like it in 2018. I mean, where are we really philosophically, you think, John Curley? Are we children, or are we, what's happening here?
Well, it's the glorification of the victim. And the thing that is victimizing you, the deeper its roots, the easier it is to point to it. And if you can get on that victim float in the parade of attention that goes by, then you have more worth. I remember when I went down for Evening Magazine to cover the Mardi Gras, and they said, well, what float do you want to get on? And I said, well, which float gets the most attention? They said the Maxim float, because the women on this thing are unbelievable, throwing beads. And I said, so we got on the Maxim float, and that's where we got all the attention. So if you're in need to really feel as if your life means something, and you're highly offended, like this woman that was interviewing this Chris Harrison, the host of Bachelor, she was on some other show afterwards talking about how deeply, deeply offended she was by this woman wearing the puffy sleeved dress of the antebellum, because she is deeply hurt. Well, I guess that puts her in a realm that I think few people could possibly understand, that the dress that the woman wore in 2018 affects her today. That she is so damaged. And people get upset about Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus died, like, what, 500 years ago? If you're still feeling it, there's something wrong with you. And at what point do people go, you're nuts, okay? You're nuts. This doesn't make any sense. There's something seriously. Are you really upset about Christopher Columbus? And as long as the Twitter trolls can take people down, and as long as businesses continue to fire people because they're afraid of what the reaction is, they stand by and watch Abraham Lincoln, and they watch George Washington, they watch the names of these people be removed from buildings because they are afraid. So this goes to anybody who's got a business that's that just kowtows to the angry mob. You are worthless in the conversation of what is right, what is wrong, or even more importantly, what is sane and what is insane. And when I saw the president of Goya Foods stand up and say, oh, no, 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 I'm not apologizing for what I said. And then there was going to be a big boycott. No, I don't know. You can be upset by what I said, but really, you're not really that hurt. And I'm going to keep making Goya Foods. And I like Donald Trump. And then there was a thing called a boycott. People started buying cases and cases and cases of his food and giving it to homeless shelters. And he ended up doing well over the whole thing. He didn't cave to it. I'm just amazed at how easily people run from the trolls.
Well, let's say this, though. Let's say that, let me play that part. Let me play that character for just a quick minute of someone who, when I look at George Washington, I see, again, everybody out, this is Jack Stein. I'm playing a character. This is not the way I really feel. But let's just say that I am taking the position that George Washington was a hypocrite and a slave owner, and he wrote horribly racist things, and it doesn't matter to me that his father-in-law gave him those slaves when he became married, and it doesn't matter to me that in his will he freed all of those slaves. He was still a human being who owned other human beings, and therefore, ergo, concordantly, he is deserved of all of the criticism that comes with that. That okay. He is deserved of all the hate and anger that comes with someone who is complicit in the act of slavery, which is a moral evil. What would you say, John Curley?
I mean, to
I'm a woke guy, John. Make me unwoke. Make me go back to sleep.
I don't argue with you. I can't. I just, you're going to have that feeling, and your feelings are respected by you, but you're not going to be able to argue with anybody's feelings. You can't, fact to a feeling, you never win on that, because the guy's going to be just more and more and more insulted. But the question is like, okay, who's the pure among us? Then, okay, most pure. Okay, let's go. Where do you want to pick somebody? Who do you want to honor? You want to, Roosevelt? Roosevelt was a racist. Yeah, I can point to a bunch of stuff he said and did. Nixon, sure. He held racist views, misogynistic right. views. As the culture changes and evolves and moves on and on and on, we continue to evolve and become more aware of, well, that's a terrible thing to do. Why would you treat somebody like that? That's a horrible thing to say about somebody. And we get better. We're better. What other country? What do you want to compare us to? What other country in the world? Yet we are the least racist. I heard Dennis Prager say this, and people came after him. He goes, we're the least racist country in the world. Think of any other country. Where do you believe if you want to run up us against someone else? So there's no one that you can point to from I don't care where that you can't find some problem that person has said something to offend someone. And it is all about status, and it is all about power. And you do the greatest disservice to yourself. Like this lady that is so upset that this story broke like last week. She wrote a piece in the LA Times, upset that her neighbor, who likes Trump, plowed her driveway and did a good job, she said. But I can't thank him because he is a Trumpster, and therefore he is like a Hamas terrorist. And therefore, six paragraphs later, you eventually devolve into he's also a Nazi. So how do you right. thank a Nazi for plowing your driveway for you?
Yeah, at that point, I mean, you've gone down that rabbit hole. You've done like the intellectual gymnastics that it takes to get to that point, and you no longer see just a nice, friendly guy who decides to. I think the article is called What Do You Do When You Live Next Door to Trumpists? And at that point in time, you no longer see an individual. You see everything that you hate, which is why, John Curley, I often think about the more that I either do radio or I do it my YouTube channel and people go, oh, that guy thinks like that. The more I think, how many opportunities are just closing around me because I said a nice thing about President Trump 6 months ago, or I said something positive about the Trump administration a year ago, or that I defended him during both impeachments. How many opportunities that I have that would otherwise be afforded to me if I said, man, I love Joe Biden. Isn't Joe Biden, sleepy Joe Biden, get it done, Joe Biden, isn't he just the best? If I said that, I'd be directing movies right now in Hollywood. I wouldn't be with you, John Curley, but instead, I stick to my principles. principles and I say, hey, you know what? That guy isn't as bad as everybody makes him out to be. And people go, boo, go away, we hate you. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
There is a great book, which I highly recommend, called Anatomy of Peace. And it is all about stopping yourself from looking at the enemy and then filling your mind with all the horrible things that you believe that person possesses. And if you pull all of it aside and you see the humanity of the individual, that's the only place you can begin any conversation from, which is the humanity. Not
right.
The color of the person's skin or anything else. The fact that this guy, if the story is even true, I'm starting to doubt the story. The guy plowed her driveway. Maybe he knew her political point of view, but that was irrelevant to him. He plowed it because she needed the driveway plowed. He had a plow. He went in there and plowed the driveway. That's if it's true. But she can't bring herself to thank him because she's created in her mind all of these hobgoblins, Jack, that this guy represents all of these terrible things. So how could she possibly ever extend any kind of humanity to him when he himself is a Nazi with a plow? It's, oh, this world, I don't know how we get out of this.
A Nazi with a plow is one of the weirdest sentences I think I've heard in a while, John Curley.
Oh, I've got stranger ones. Like, here's Tracy Taylor Nazi with a look at looky looks. There we are. That's the note. That's a hard note to bend that note. That's the thing that separates the men from the boys when it comes to those high school bands that are competing. And the trumpet, like, all right, lead trumpets, one and two, you guys, you know, make us proud. And you got to stand up and play that note. The judges are like, oh, God, here it comes. What is that song called?
John Curley, are you going to buy me a drink before you? I mean, this is some pretty, some dancing music you got going on right now.
No drink for you.
The name of this song, from what it says here, is Cherry, Pink, and Apple Blossoms by Eddie Calvert.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Wow, that was a waste of time.
That's right.
thank you,
Jack,
John.
You're a musician. You know, did you play an instrument in high school?
I played many. I played guitar, bass, piano, the whole gamut.
Oh, yeah. Did it work for you, like, getting the chicks? Would you, like, you'd bust out the guitar and start playing little Cat Stevens or something? Or that's probably not, you're too young for that, but...
No, it wasn't. It was like Blink 182 and Sum 41, and, you know, I was just being a loser. But I, no, because I had such low self-esteem that the idea that, you know, anybody would actually want to listen to my music or watch my band or anything, this was a part of deep shame for me. So, no, I didn't talk to anybody about it. We just played gigs. And no chicks, John Curley. No ladies.
Yeah, but no. I know no one wants to listen to your music. I'm just saying, you know, covering something from REM or something. Like Losing My Religion.
No, we did.
You bust into Everybody Hurts. You telling me you play that with a bunch of bar chords? You can't get a girl.
Yeah, you know, we were playing like TJ and the Shondells, Ramones, that kind of. You know, yeah, we were playing deep cuts.
Oh, wow. Way deep. Well, here's a deep cut for you. This is Mr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci. By the way, the highest paid federal government employee. No one makes more than Dr. Fauci. You know that?
427 is my dyslexia at this point in time, but some it's an insane amount of money for him as just a regular, supposed to be, hey, I'm just working Joe, working for the public.
There's actually a term in dating now called Fauciing someone. Do you know what that means?
Ooh, boy, here we go. Sean, get ready to cut this out. Here we go. Hang on.
No, what does it mean?
It means cutting off a relationship if you don't think that other person is serious enough about social distancing and taking the pandemic seriously. Like, oh, I Fauci'd that guy.
I'm going to Fauci you.
I'm not the biggest fan of Dr. Anthony Fauci. I was many, many months ago, but that has shifted over time. The more that comes out about him as an individual, the more I think to myself, oh, man, there's something weird about someone who wants to be on In Touch magazine and that amount of media attention. There's something about it that is just off-putting for someone who's supposed to mm-hmm. be a servant of the public.
Yeah, it is addictive. You get that attention. It certainly is addictive. I would assume the Fauciing is done primarily, this is a terrible thing to say, but I would just assume the Fauciing is done more from the female perspective than the male perspective. Men, being what they are, focused on long, loving, deep, committed relationships, walks in the rain, you know, sitting and just reading poetry to each other, back rubs
talking.
And stuff like that. Just talking,
holding
just
hands.
Cuddling. Just cuddling. That spooning. That I can't see
sweet
a guy
nothing.
Going, whoa. Okay, stop, Jack. I can't see a guy going, you know, you're really hot. And I really like you. And slim pickings because of this whole COVID thing. But you don't have your mask on. And we're not social distancing enough. And I don't see you using enough Purell. Can you see the guy? I think the Fauciing comes from the female perspective. Now, color me a horrible human being that deserves not to have a job on the radio anymore. But who's with me on that? Don't you think it's more female to male, Jack?
I would say that's a very feminine energy kind of thing to say, well, you're engaging in this practice that I find to be unhygienic or unsafe, therefore I don't want to be around you. Dude energy is a lot more what you're talking about, John Curley. It's a lot more, I don't really care if my wife doesn't wear a mask. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever. It doesn't matter to me if she sanitizes her hands every 5 minutes. But I can imagine if I was dating somebody, if I wasn't married, and all of a sudden I'm walking into supermarkets and walking into CVS, wherever, without a mask on, someone might Fauci me. Because at that point, you're kind of making a spectacle of yourself, right? If you're going out of your way to not be to not be hygienic, or let's just say you don't care. I think that's kind of a feminine thing to say, oh, well, I want you to care about this because we should all take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I guess what it is, I've seen a lot of women say, I can tell a lot about the guy by how he treats the waiter or people that are working for us in a service capacity. So, Jack, you walked into our supermarket the other day without a mask on.
I did.
Did you sense the eyes?
Well, what happened? So I walk in, and for whatever reason, absentmindedly, I took the mask off, like I was walking into my own home. I just took it off, and I walked in, and I had my headphones in, and for some reason, Grateful Dead came on the mix. It was Fire on the Mountain came on my iTunes mix. So I'm walking around saying, "Why do people like the Grateful Dead so much?" And then in the far distance, I hear people going, "Sir, sir, sir, sir." And I turn around, and there's this group of people who work at this supermarket, and they have their arms extended like they're trying to corral me, like I'm a chimpanzee with a machete, like they're trying to corral me back into the corner. And they were trying to make this thing about how I was an anti-masker. I take out my headphones and I say, "No, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot to leave it on." But they thought I was trying to make a statement. They went from 0 to 16 out of 10 in seconds, and it was just so overwhelming. And by the way, John Curley, three ladies, one guy. Three ladies, one guy who surrounded me.
Well, a couple of things. One, we'll take the music up a little bit. Here's your Grateful Dead.
This was in my headphones. As they're screaming at me, by the way, John, screaming, "Sir, sir, sir." I was like, I'm not making a political statement. I'm just a regular dude.
Right. So two things. One, did you ever figure out why people like the Grateful Dead? And two, so let me get this straight. You said that you inadvertently walked in thinking you were in your own home. Is your home 50,000 square feet filled with fresh fruit, produce, salads and bags, and like 35 other people walking around with shopping carts? I mean, what kind of house do you have, Jack, that you misconstrued? I'm sorry. And so the music's playing in your head. Music's up a little bit, Sean.
Right.
And you're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was home."
It was
my
as
bad.
If,
like my I, bad. I thought I was home, but then I saw the end cap over there with the barbecued potato chips, and I knew I didn't have an end cap of barbecue chip. That's not my house. Sorry about that, everybody. Mask on. And if anybody can tell me why people like the Grateful Dead, that'd be great. Anybody? Anyone?
That's exactly what happened. That's exactly the way it went down.
That's exactly what happened. Oh, my God. You're a sad human being. Here I thought Tom was. You take the cake. Really? I never got a chance to talk about my weekend. I had the best weekend ever. God,
did
it was
you?
A great weekend.
Oh. What did you do? Tell me all about it.
Real fast. I was going to go to church on Sunday, right? I'm getting ready. I'm heading to church. And then all of a sudden, I remember I saw a woman on Saturday at the Verizon store in Ellensburg who walked in, looked like hell in a handcart. She said, "How much do I owe?" They said, $362. She said, "Can you please turn my phone back on?" And they said, "No, we've been really patient with you, but we can't." And I looked at her, and I hate to say it, I did a judgy. I'm like, well, you know. And I'm ready to go to church, and all of a sudden I said, you know what? Screw you, Curly. I call up the Verizon store in Ellensburg. I said, I'm going to pay her bill. And the guy said, "That's very nice of you, but you can't do it over the phone. You have to come in." So in the snow, rather than going to church, I drove to Ellensburg, and I paid her bill. And I thought, well, there's religion in action. I thought that, you know what? You could sit in church and think about it, or you can take an action and fix it. And I went and paid it, and there we go. So it was a really great weekend.
That's really awesome of you.
Oh, thank you.
No enthusiasm. That's really awesome of you, John.
No, I mean, I'm just sitting there thinking about it. No, I mean, that's $300 is like, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
I have become the Verizon fairy. I don't know what it is, but when I'm in a Verizon store, I buy people stuff. There was 6 months ago, a guy had the big World War II hat on. He couldn't afford the bigger phone. He needed the bigger phone because his eyes were going. And the lady goes, "I'm sorry, with the discount, that's the best we can do." And I looked over. I said, "I will pay for his phone. What's it cost?" She said, "It's $700. I was like, at that point,
John,
I couldn't go, whoa, $700. And I bought the guy a phone. He turned to me, said, "You didn't have to do it." I said, "You didn't have to fight the Germans." And then with that, done.
Oh, my God.
And that's, you should end every conversation with that. You didn't have to fight the Germans. Here's $700. All right, Tracy, I'm sorry. I took up all your traffic time. All right, I went so long on my story that one note from the mailman and teeny tiny lady's going to help. Hit it, John.
Hello!
All right, we'll get to the letter of the day in just a second, Jack, but here we go at a rapid pace. Pick one, baby. Go.
Hi, John. Finally a talk show host who has some work ethic. Your fellow hosts from 9 a.m. till now are just part-timers. They took the whole day off.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The Bachelor controversy, the women interviewing Chris Hansen, was the first black bachelorette. Oh, boy. Okay.
On me, 253 says, but really, this guy she's got, the Jack, seems totally appropriate.
Nice. Police, says 360. End this segment about The Bachelor before I start driving in the medium backwards with my mask over my eyes. Oh, boy. Wow, that would not be good.
President's Day 206 says Lincoln's birthday used to be on February 12th and Washington's on February 22nd.
Very nice. Trump's acquittal. Facts don't matter because the Republican senators were the jury and they had decided to vote not guilty no matter what. Mm-hmm.
360 says, Jack, you ask why the seven Republican senators voted to convict. They voted to convict so they don't have their names written into history books forever and ever as being traitors to their country.
Traitors, 425. I agree that the media manipulates our emotions. The worst manipulations come from the automobile industry. Wow.
Me and
okay,
heroin. I'm Jack and heroin. Says 253, why is it a problem for Jack to talk about his sobriety? It's a good thing, and it's amazing that someone got clean off this stuff. He should talk about it more.
Hello!
Teeny Tiny was also, she had a problem with the white dragon. 206, yeah. It's true the best way to score a great guitar is to have a fellow musician friend with a crippling drug habit.
True story.
I got a $3,000 something or other jet for $500 cash. Well, way to take advantage of your drug-addled friend. Nice. Good job.
It's called a Gretsch Duo Jet, and it's an amazing guitar. Presidents in Revisionist History 253 says, John, you cannot compare surgeons to politicians. There have been people against slavery since it was brought to America. So unless there are people helping patients escape from surgeons and actively speaking out against the practices, it's not the same. You're comparing apples to oranges.
All righty. 253, everyone has an underbelly. The whole frickin' world had slaves, for crying out loud. Not just black slaves either.
425
says the whole world's underbelly. Think of everybody's underbelly there for a moment there. Go ahead, sorry.
425, people need to pull their big adult pants on and live for the current day. This being offended by things that happened many years ago is a joke, and these people are looking for something to put on Twitter.
Wow. Okay.
I took that bed and hit him upside a paya.
Wow, we actually have almost run through all the letters. I didn't think we would. Spokane guy who went back to prison. 206 says, having a ride a bus would make me want to... Having to ride a bus would make me want to have to go back to jail. Wow. Tom's not even here. The guy's taking a shot at him. That's nuts, guys. Hit another one.
Snowball Fight says, as a 306, heck no, the social contract of snowball fights is that everyone joins, and this is all fun and games.
That's the feeling anyway. 425 snowball fightings are open-ended. If it's a group of friends or family, fun. If you don't know the people, stop. Don't do it. It can get mean before you know it. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Beautiful.
Hold on. She's right over there. Letter of the day.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
It's all you, Jack.
253 says, John, don't kid yourself. None of the ladies listen to this show. In reference to the people who are...
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write the great text.
She left the gloom a hanging.
All right, let's do another hour. Let's repeat exactly what we said, word for word, Jack.
Sounds good. Yeah,
sounds good.